Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio, Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Want to start with an event, I guess I'll call it. Sal can change the word if he wants, that Sal has planned for tomorrow afternoon. And, you know, Sal's a positive guy and a leader type, and I just hope this music is blaring at this. Because I feel like it's difficult to be angry when you hear this song. Would you consider that immodest, Sal, to blast your name song at this event tomorrow?
I don't know. I don't know if event is quite the word, but what else is there, right? I mean, that's
I didn't know.
We're not going to have the WGR promotions team out there handing out T-shirts. You know what I mean? There's nothing like that going on. But I've really just tried over the last several weeks since this started, last couple weeks or whatever, you know, to reach out and connect with. Many of my African-American friends and even followers on Twitter, people I haven't met and things like that. And someone I'm very close to is my old high school coach at Cleveland Hill High School, Glenn Graham. Coach Graham, he's black, and he actually was, I don't want to say for sure, I believe he was the first ever black student at Cleveland Hill back in the 70s, actually. If not the first, it was one of the very first. So, you know, he grew up in that community, and he knows more than anybody what it's like going through school in a situation like that. Basically became an assistant coach, a head coach. He was a college football coach at Canisius before they dropped the program, actually, many years ago. And we've stayed really close. He lives near me here in the, you know, West Side Elmwood Village corridor, basically. And, you know, him and I, we talk a lot. And, you know, I've wanted to do something. And I think it's, you know, we have this platform. We can talk about it. I spent 10 minutes on my podcast last week talking about the things that are going on in the world. I've reached out to people, like I said, privately. I've had conversations with people here and there. And I've really enjoyed those conversations. The feedback I'm getting is tremendous, and I'm really glad. You know, so what I did was I reached out to Coach Graham, and I said, you know, I think with your leadership and the voice you have, and he's a great man and a great leader, one of the best I've been around. I said, with your leadership and voice that you have in the African-American community and how respected you are in Western New York, in my platform and people that I can reach and touch to and people who know me, I said, you know, we can do something really good here. And maybe, you know, maybe we can just get together and talk to people, because that's what it's about, talking and listening more than anything, especially on my part, you know, listening. And he said, absolutely. And so what we came up with the idea was tomorrow from 2 to 4 p.m., right near Colonial Circle here in the Elmwood Village area on the foot of Bidwell. It's not on the side where the farmer's market is at the end there, the Colonial Circle, where the statue is.
Him and I are just going to... St. John's Grace, right?
Where the church is, yes, thank you. And right. There's a...
we got married in that church, so I wrote it down. Partial of the church.
Oh, okay. And there's a stone called the John Bochat Stone, I believe it's called. And they commemorate, war victims, basically, from Western New York. So we're just going to plop a couple of lawn chairs down, and we're going to talk. And we're just going to talk about football, I don't know, life, family. And anybody who wants to come by can just talk about whatever they want. And if they want to talk about what's going on today in the world, they just want to say hi. You haven't seen Coach Graham in a while. You want to meet him. You want to say hi to me. You want to talk about the Bills. Anything. You want to talk about what's going on today. You know, we want to be a force and a voice for positive change. And that starts with, you know, I think allowing community members to get together. And as Coach said, after I tweeted it out today, he retweeted me and said, Sal and I want to do this because when this is all over and the protests stop, because at some point that's going to happen, we have to continue to talk. You know, you can't just stop when the protests stop. Mm-hmm. And you can't just stop talking. That's what we need to do. So, you know, let's do that. So in my own way, this is my way to kind of, you know, help use my platform, if you will. And again, I want this to be organic. We're not going out there. This is not something that WGR even knew about. It's something that came up really today more than anything. This morning, we kind of put it together. And, you know, I'd like to see people there if they can. If you can show up, you can show up. This is not a protest. We're not going to be marching anywhere. We're not going to be, you know, doing that kind of thing that's going on. And if that's what you want to do, hey, by all means, I'm all for it. And you can do that in your own way. What this is literally just people sitting down and talking about life.
Really cool idea. I'm really going to be curious to see. I'm not sure how my day's going to lay out. When you tweeted this, mm-hmm. I was like, I'm riding my bike over there or whatever. I just want to just sort of take it in, right? So I don't know, like, you know, what we've got going on tomorrow yet. My wife is at the end of three long days working at the end of tonight, so I don't know what tomorrow's going to look like. But I just think this is a really cool idea, and I commend you and your former coach for coming up with it.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. And, you know, if you go to my Twitter feed, Sal Sports, you'll see how I wrote about it, a picture of Coach Graham and I, and you'll also see a picture of a map of where we're going to be. And, you know, you can go from there. And we're doing it, I said, we got to do it after the farmer's market's over, because that goes till 1 o'clock. You know, that's going to be a lot of people over there. So, you know, people want to bring their kids by just to run around. I will say, though, I am asking people to wear a mask and mm-hmm. abide by social distancing rules. You know, nobody wants to, you know, get anybody, you know, coronavirus, COVID, all that stuff. You know, we want to make sure, you know, that's the case. So I appreciate you guys, you know, let me say it. But again, I want people to know, like, this isn't something that, you know, we're running commercials for. We're having a promotions team out there, a truck, or broadcasting live. This is just a couple of guys who love each other and want everybody to move forward and love each other and show compassion and empathy and, you know, do what we can to make our community and our world a better place.
Yeah, I'll make sure people know not to come by looking for free Salins hot dogs on Schwabel's rolls or whatever. I can't remember. There's so many That's promotions right. I used to do back in the day.
I'll have to get my lip balm another time. Sal Capaccio with us. Good job, Sal. I'm impressed and Thanks. Excited for you tomorrow. It should be a cool thing. And hopefully you get good weather. So let's talk about some Bill stuff here. It's been a week where we've had coaches do the media. Sean McDermott went earlier in the week. Today, Brian Daboll and special teams coach Farwell. Is it Heath Farwell? Is that
yes.
right? Thanks mm-hmm. for making sure I'm right about that. So what about Daboll today? Like, what's the most interesting thing?
I thought the most interesting thing was how emotional he got speaking about the situation. Not really just about Jake Fromm, but that was weaved into it, obviously, and the situation in America and him, you know, Brian Daboll, and how he's approached it with his players and what he feels about it. And he got choked up, guys. He did a couple of different times, but especially when he answered a question about the communication amongst the team. And he said, and when he got choked up, it was when he said, I'm not going to sit here and pretend to understand what some of my players, some of my friends are going through. I'm here to listen and support them, to let them know that I love them, that I have their back, help lead them and be involved in as much as I can. He said, it's a tough topic. I've had a lot of conversations with guys, some longer ones, some longer than others, excuse me. And he said, I want to let them know that I love them and that I have their back. I'm willing to help. My family's willing to help in any way. And when he said that, he was emotional. He got emotional a little bit later on, again, in the same way. And when he spoke about Jake Fromm specifically, it was poignant, you know, and it was direct. He said he's got a lot of work to do to win back the trust, earn back the trust of his teammates. But he said, I'm confident he's going to work hard at it. He didn't say, I know he's going to do it. He said, I know he's going to work hard at it.
Yeah, I thought that was, I think that's important to point out. That he said it that way, because it would have been. Mm-hmm. I think you've heard. You almost would have almost expected a football coach to say, "Oh, I have every reason in the world to believe it'll be." It, to me, he sounds like, "Yeah, we'll see." He's got a lot to do, and I know he'll do the work, but I don't know if it's gonna work ultimately.
I agree. You know, it goes back to what I said yesterday, which is I think we have to at least leave the door open here for this thing not to go as well as everybody hopes mm-hmm. it will, because of the climate we're living in. And you never know. You just never know, because they have not had a chance to meet Jake Fromm. He hasn't had a chance to be face to face with his teammates and to talk. He might have been able to apologize. We know he apologized via a Zoom call and to his team, but that's different, I think, than standing in front of people and holding those personal conversations. So I think this has to have time to breathe and to see where it goes. And as we talked about yesterday, I think that Brian Daboll kind of echoed those sentiments, which is, you know, I'm confident he's going to work really hard to do that, but I can't promise anything, and we don't know where this is going to go. And, you know, I'm sure he's very hopeful that it winds up, you know, on the right side.
Sal Capaccio with us. I know Daboll talked at least a little bit about Stephon Diggs. What have they been able to do together yet?
Nothing. Talk. That's it. Do you mean Daboll and Stephon Diggs?
Yeah. Yeah. Like what has been his sort of place in Diggs' acclimation, to whatever extent that's happened, into the Bills offense?
Basically just meetings, speaking with him one-on-one through whatever form of communication, whether that be FaceTime or, you know, just calling him on the phone, understanding, talking about the playbook and things like that. He did say that, you know, he is in every meeting, basically, and, you know, he's very smart. He has gotten to know him that way, but that's all they can do. I mean, they really don't have an opportunity to do anything physically, obviously, and until that happens, there's no way for him to really have any contact with Stephon Diggs. I mean, they're in the situation like everybody else, but really that's the extent of it, Mike, which is checking in, seeing what he's doing. He saw what he's, you know, that he's down there in Florida with Josh Allen and working out, and obviously he likes that idea and what's going on, but, you know, they haven't been able to do anything beyond that.
Has he, did he, forgive me because I did not run through the transcript of this, Sal. Did he talk like at all about what we've talked about a few times this week, which is where are all the extra footballs going to come from? Like the targets, you know, like how the offense may be changed, if it's going to change at all, by Diggs' presence here.
He didn't necessarily talk about that in that regard. Like, there wasn't a specific question about that. You know, he made it known, though, that, look, it's not easy for, you know, rookies to come in here and make an impact. He talked about Zach Moss. He talked about Isaiah Hodgins. He talked about Gabe Davis. You know, so, you know, those guys coming in and getting acclimated, it's not like you're just going to get on the field and suddenly, you know, be able to step right in and be a number one role or something like that, whether it's in Zach Moss's case. I mean, you know, he'll have every opportunity. When it came to Stephon Diggs, you know, he just basically kept it general, excited to have him. You know, he looks forward to, he called him a smart player, a very good football player. But there was nothing so far as, you know, how are you going to spread the offense around and what you're going to do. And I'm sure that's coming once we get back here and, you know, we start to see things, hopefully sooner rather than later, and, you know, get these guys on the field and we get a chance to talk to them.
Sal Capaccio with us. Also in the world of special teams, might the Bills have one or even two interesting, quote, battles at kicker and punter?
They do. And I think the first one is kicker, obviously. And it would really, I think it's an uphill battle for Steven Hauschka to beat out Tyler Bass the way it's going. Obviously, he was drafted. He's a, you know, you spend a draft pick on a player, on a kicker. You know, that's a asset to give on a kicker. And the kid, as strong as his leg is, and as good as he was in college, you go back to last year, the fact that they claimed Chase McLaughlin off waivers, but they didn't get him. Hauschka struggled in the first half of the season. I mean, all this points to Steven Hauschka is really going to have to fight his way to make the roster. Now, he said what Heath Farwell said was that when Bass was drafted, he called Steven Hauschka and said, it's your job to lose. Look, he can tell him that, and that's fine. And I get, and I understand the sentiment of telling a veteran that. But I think he's going to have to really beat out Tyler Bass. I do. I think this is, to me, it's really kind of, to me, it's Tyler Bass's job to lose. And he could, because, you know, you never know. I mean, look at the Bucs took a kicker in the second round a couple of years ago, and he was horrible. And the Bills, the Bills drafted Dustin Hopkins, back in 2012 or 13 or whatever it was. And he got hurt in preseason, and Dan Carpenter takes over. Dustin Hopkins never kicks for the Bills, and now he's had a nice career in the NFL, but Dan Carpenter became the kicker for a few years because of that. So you never know what's going to happen, but I think, to me, Steven Hauschka is going to really have to beat out Tyler Bass, and it can only really happen to me if Tyler Bass struggles or if he gets injured or something.
Yeah, and there's also salary to take into account here. I mean, the Bills are not in any kind of real trouble on the cap, but Hauschka's got a hearty number, and Bass would be on a, what, a fourth round, where'd they take him? Rookie contract, which is going to be considerably less than what Hauschka.
Yeah, sixth round. But, yeah, and the other one was Kari Vedvik, and, you know, they signed him right away. Now, this is a guy that he's been on a few teams. He hasn't really been able to stick in the NFL, but he has an incredibly strong leg. What he said about that, the punter battle, is that this is Corey Bohorquez's job to lose. And I believe that. I think more so, to me, it is. I think Bohorquez comes in as the favorite. I think Tyler Bastamy comes in as a favorite for kicker. But, you know, I get what he means by saying Steven Hauschka, it's his job to lose. But you'd have to probably see Bohorquez kind of lose it, which he could, because he also said we just need more consistency from him. Now, if Kari Vedvik comes in and just shows that he can, you know, start drilling 60-yard punts all day long, then I think it's going to be tough for Corey Bohorquez, because I think he's a guy that, you know, he's been in kind of off and on, you know, thinking about if you're going to keep him, not keep him, going through training camp last year, end of the season, and, you know, cuts and things like that. He's not a guy that's, you know, been a mainstay here necessarily.
Yeah, your job to lose. I mean, that is just like the default position when you have a veteran and a rookie. For all the rookie quarterbacks that have been drafted, unless they just cleared the way, you know, it's so-and-so. The veteran, it's his, Tyrod Taylor's job to lose in L.A. until, you know, then he loses it. Like, what is sort of almost assumed is that he will lose it. It's just a matter of when. So I don't know if it's much more than lip service.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, I think Steven Hauschka is very respected in the organization. He really is. He's a super hard worker. You know, they respect the heck out of, you know, the time that he puts into his craft, how seriously he takes it. I think he does have all of those, you know, Bill's DNA things they talk about and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, you know, he was not good from long range last year. And he had a much better second half, those guys. You know, the numbers were nice for him in the second half. Now, the first half, they were not. But they need to be able to strike from further out, and they need more consistency. And last year, he just did not show that, especially first half of the year.
He did have a good playoff game. Sorry.
That's okay.
4 for 4.
Yeah. But even within that, though, there were opportunities where maybe I don't know. I have no way of knowing this, that McDermott would have thought, I wish I could trust this guy to try a 58-yarder right now. And maybe that's why you end up drafting a kicker.
Sure.
You know, because you harken back to standing on the sidelines in a game you got to win to play next week and feel like, I don't trust my kicker from X distance. And, like, that's I think you want to rectify that.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, the playoff game stands out a little bit where they were and what position and, you know, what it could have come down to. You know, this is going to be an interesting battle to watch. We'll see. But, you know, it's going to be to me, it's funny because Vedvik also has an ability to kick, remember. But I'll remind people, you know, he's not here to compete for the kicking job. But the more you do, you know, that does give him an interesting spot here, because if you keep Vedvik over Bohorquez, you could also have a guy that, in case something were to happen to Bass or whatever kicker you have, you know, you have a guy on the team that could also kick and rely on. If maybe, you know, you keep one of the other field goal kickers and for some reason they're struggling from long distance, you know, Vedvik's there too. So it's an interesting situation what they have with all four of those guys.
All right, 2 to 4 tomorrow at the Colonial Square.
Yeah, Colonial Circle, actually.
Colonial Circle, Mike, sorry.
Yeah, I'm teaching Max about shapes, so, you know.
Someone needs to teach me.
You about shapes here.
It is a circle.
Yeah,
it's
that's right. It's a circle, and it's also known, I think it, do you call it Bidwell Circle? I've always called it Bidwell Circle because there's a statue of General Bidwell there.
I call it Bidwell Square. That's what I call it.
Colonial Circle. I don't know what is the name of the one at the other end of Bidwell Parkway down by Chapin. I don't know what that because there's a circle down there, too. So I don't know.
We're doing pictographs at home now. That's my daughter's math as the school year winds down.
What grade is this?
Third. Yep.
Yeah, they're learning stuff in first grade that I'm like, there's no way. Like, how are you? Like, I can't even give you an example right now. But there's things that when Max was going to school before this whole thing stopped, I mean, he had Spanish once a week. He's in first grade, and, you know, the kid knows, like, how to talk Spanish, basically. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, they learn these things this early? I've never heard about that. Like, when I I took Latin, by the way. That was my foreign language I took. And you know, you can't speak Latin. I can't go on the radio and we can't have a conversation. But it really helped me with my English. But they offered that when I was in middle school. I took it. But you couldn't really take a foreign language until I believe it was sixth or seventh grade.
Well, we've come a long way in some areas as a society. Thank you, Sal. Be safe tonight. Enjoy your event tomorrow. There it is, event again. And we'll talk next week.
All right, guys. Thanks.
All right. Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
A lot of athletes have come forward offering donations and support for certain groups. Michael Jordan just raised the bar, I think. $100 million over the next decade to causes that will ensure racial equality, social justice, and greater access to education. That's how Darren Revelle puts it in a tweet about the commitment. Right, Joe?
Yes. Yep.
$100 million. I mean,
wow.
That's probably a lot of money for Michael Jordan, right? That's probably a lot. Not judging. Any amount is good. That's probably a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah, I would think so. And that's... I saw an announcement earlier today that Nike, in concert with their other brands, I guess they own Converse, I didn't realize that they did, but Converse and Jordan were mentioned in there, also made a huge, huge commitment for I think, similar causes. So that's impressive.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog here at 803-0550. This is WGR.
I think two things Sean and Brandon have really done a good job of really cultivating what we have here. It's about bringing the right people in, people that are hardworking, that are smart, that you know treat people like they want to be treated. You know, these are tough times, challenging times. You want to associate yourself with people that are good people, that are willing to do the right thing. We have a bunch of those guys, not only in our locker room, but on the coach.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Staff and in the building as well. You know, that's what our focus is to, you know, bond with one another, to help each other out, to show empathy, to do what we can do, our part, to try to help make things better.
Brian Daboll, Bills offensive coordinator. Right on. A lot of people are saying that, and I am not questioning Dable's sincerity at all. Like I would usually, the benefit of the doubt is I believe you, you know, when you're talking about whatever effort needs to be made. But that is such a key point, and almost maybe the best point is the listening and the understanding, and not the, you know, yeah, but.
Yeah, this is how that makes me feel. Let me tell you how what you just told me makes me feel.
Right.
Calm down on that.
The all lives matter comeback is really
right.
That oh sort gosh. Of exemplified. Like, well, of course, we know. That's right. I'm alive. I consider it meaningful. It's meaningful to me. But I have not been discriminated against. So it's just not, it's not my place. That's all. I mean, right. I'm talking about myself. It's not my place to say, you know, to impart my relatively smooth life experience into this conversation. I think football teams will be really overall will be really successful. I think I maybe said this yesterday. Like, who are these guys? They're from all over the place. They're of all kinds of different ethnic backgrounds. There's plenty of diversity on a roster. There's lots of people. And they're serious, driven men, young men, with a lot to lose. I mean, this is their moment playing in the NFL or even on a good college team or something. Like, it's they would all sort of just know that without even thinking about it. You would sense that. You would recognize that. And so, I don't know. I'm going to try to make it work. It's my personality is like, I'll let you maybe get away with a lot, but I want to make this thing that I value work. And I think that that's NFL teams. That's not to say that everything's okay, though. I mean, there are lines.
Yeah, I mean, I think I want to be hopeful for that. Like, not just NFL teams, but certainly, you know, society at large, and that's even more complicated. But I hope that that's right. But I think there's probably a lot more discomfort to come. You know, like, we're not... I have no idea. I mean, we spent 2 months sort of trying to gauge where we were on a pandemic lockdown timeline. I have no idea where we are on a timeline figuring is the worst of the violence happening at some of these protests, is that over? Are we... you know, just starting? Like, where, like, when is it still going to get worse before? I mean, I just don't know. The whole thing, all of it, the pandemic and then this on top of it, feels to me like just a pot on the stove that is just boiling and has been boiling, and no one is looking at it, and there's no water left, and now the pot is just sitting there, just the metal is just white hot because it's just sitting there on the stove and there's nothing in it anymore. Like, that's where I feel like we are. And I just don't know where we go from there. Does somebody have gloves to handle the pot and salvage it? Or is it just going to stay white hot for a little while longer?
I thought it did. I've been burning my fingers like almost every day on this new grill. So I am getting, totally familiar with that. Like, that spoke to me. I'm looking right now. It burns on my fingers because I'm not yet, since I brought it up, I'm not yet at the point where I sort of know the steps in order. Like, I'll get out there and I'll be just thinking about how long does this take to cook? And then what temperature is it? And then, do I have a plate? Don't use the raw meat plate. And do I have tongs? Do I have an oven mitt? This grill has, like, drawers underneath it with doors. And I put this oven mitt in it. And, like, today I was like, okay, good. I remembered to do that. And I looked at it soaking wet. Like, why would that have gotten wet? I'm just not good at this yet.
Okay.
But yet I have burns because I'm just...
Like on your fingertips just on your hands?
Fingertip, side of my hand. I got 4 or 5 of them from...
Here's a tip for you. Start playing the guitar because the fingertips it's over. There's no... Like, I can put the tips of my fingers on my left hand anyway on just about anything, and it doesn't matter anymore. Just completely...
You don't feel anything. And,
no, they're just, they're gone. I don't know if
I never thought about that being a plus.
I'm not sure if the fingerprints numbness are gone or not, but, like, I don't know. They're,
If I burn the same spot tonight, won't even feel anything? All right.
I don't think that works that way. I think you'd feel that. You know, you need a buildup of, you know, dead.
A buildup of dead.
Yeah,
Joe, you got a team left to name?
A buildup of dead.
A buildup of dead. Gonna like it. We got a draft tomorrow.
I don't think I have a team name for that one. Maybe that could be it.
I went with sponge towels, which I kind of wish maybe I'll change it, but I was watching one of these old curling games, and the big women's tournament, the national women's tournament in Canada, the Scotties, it's bathroom tissue, right? It's toilet paper. And so, like, all over the ice are the logos for, like, toilet paper. And one of them is sponge towels. What is that going to be? That's going to be, like, paper towels.
I do have a name, by the way. It's the Puffy Shirts. So that team is taken.
Your teams are all Seinfeld episodes.
They're all Seinfeld references, yeah. The Van Buren Boys, the Puffy Shirts, the Moops.
The Moops.
Yeah.
Yep.
I have not. You're still watching. I have not. It just, as you said that, it just dawned on me. I think early in the week I said I turned the NASCAR race on Sunday, right? Bristol, and it was on, and I realized I wasn't watching it, so I just told my family, like, do what you want with the TV, and I walked away. I have not turned the TV on since then. I don't know what it just we're getting done with these shows, and I am going out on the porch and sitting there and playing the guitar and, like, you know, scrolling Twitter and having a beer or two, and then it's 9 o'clock. Like, that has been every night this week. I just have been sitting outside and just not really in the mood for anything. I mean, I don't know. I suppose when there's something that I really want to watch comes back, I'll get to it. But it's been kind of like I've just not felt the need to watch
TV at all.
I can
relate to that. I relate to that, too.
Same. I'm doing Fire Table over anything on Netflix or whatever right now. There's also no, like,
Fire
trendy
table.
Shows or anything. Yeah, Fire Table. Proximity's too close in the backyard to do a fire pit, so Fire Table.
What does that mean? It's like a slot in the middle of it?
No, it's
like a grill.
It's like a propane fire table. There's like rocks on the top, and then there's like tubes within the rocks, and it shoots flames up.
Tubes within the rocks that shoots flames?
Yeah, not like crazy. Like they're small, but it's a fire.
So it's like a gas.
It's a gas fireplace.
It's like a gas fireplace, but in your backyard. So it's like a fire pit with legs.
Yeah, it's a fire pit with legs.
A fire
exactly.
pit with legs. You're talking about this like it's an apple or something. Like, everybody, of course, there's a fire table.
Yeah, fire table. Well, what else would you think?
What's a fire table?
There's only so many things a fire table could be.
Well, that's granted. But what? All right.
So what it said on the box? I don't know.
Colonial Square is wrong. I don't know what a fire table is. Burn your hands again. You won't feel it. What a stretch.
Fire table.
We will talk a little sports after a break. The update on baseball, and you guys will vote. But between the three, among the three of us, there'll be a winner on this vote. What today's latest baseball update means, and whether they'll play. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog with Sneaky Joe. This is WGR.
Well, first of all, they genuinely believe he could be the next starting quarterback of this team. They're not married to him, obviously, because they brought in Jameis Winston and they'll consider other options, but they really believe, and I would almost paint him as the front runner right now to be the successor to Drew Brees. But in the meantime, they're not just going to lock him away and save him for 2021. He's going to continue to be one of the most valuable playmakers on this team. I mean, he was probably the best or the most effective playmaker on the field for them in their playoff loss to Minnesota as a runner, as a receiver.
Mike Triplett in New Orleans talking about Taysom Hill. Hill had a big pass in that game against Minnesota, the Saints' loss. And I would say maybe they need better players. They lost that game. If it's good that he was the best playmaker in that game. They lost that game.
Yeah.
How many points did they score? Very curious deal there. Like the Saints.
Take it. I really and we'll see what happens with Brees. You know, chances are he's so good. Like, maybe guys are inclined to be more forgiving. And Winston's there. It's going to blow my mind if Taysom Hill is ever their starting quarterback. I just can't get my head around it. I think it's all just, I don't know what the motivation for saying how much they value him as a quarterback or he's quarterback in waiting or whatever there is, but I don't know, man. I just don't think I'm looking at a guy that's going to be a quarterback, but I could be wrong.
The Packers were the Packers were roughed up for not getting better playmakers in the draft. Everybody couldn't believe it. Think about New Orleans and all the games they've won the last few years. Who's their number two receiver? Michael Thomas catches everything. I mean, he's at the top of the list in the league.
Yeah, I don't know. Is Joe Horn still there? I don't know.
He's not.
I don't know who the hell else is there.
Ted Ginn or Traquan Smith or the tight end Jared Cook. They've had, Kamara is excellent. They've had a lot of different guys, but I don't know. I think maybe that's a team. They have Emmanuel Sanders this year. That's a team that could dress that up, and probably or perhaps they did. Joe?
Taysom Hill actually had the second most fantasy points on their team for receiving stats last year.
under Thomas.
19 for 234 and 6 receiving touchdowns for Taysom Hill last year.
I like the who wouldn't? The value of a guy that the Swiss Army player that you can do so many different things with. That should be to your benefit, but starting quarterback, yeah, I mean we'll see when it happens.
Yeah, right. I'm not like down on him overall necessarily. It's just I think the quarterback stuff is a little nutty, but anyway.
I mentioned baseball before. The latest from baseball is negative. Jeff Passan, who's been doing a lot of the top reporting on these labor talks, his words today, at the core, it's a fight over pennies on the dollar, myopic. The difficulty between the owners and the players in baseball. 48 games, it's been reported, is the latest owner's idea. When it was 50, when it was first 50 last week, people sometimes came right back with, don't worry, it's not going to really be 50. It's just part of the negotiation. Maybe this is too, but though I think they really should be done by now. Like they should have a plan by now, like hockey does, or they don't have the players yet necessarily. But
right,
at least with other sports, you have it. This is what we're planning on doing. Basketball's got next year's start date on the table here. Baseball seems nowhere. Do you think they play? Do you guys think? Are you more the difficulties are real and they're too far apart? Or this is just how you're the guy who tells me during the NFL draft season, like, just ignore all the noise. Would you do that here?
No, because I think you've got two sides that, despite there being different people in place in places of power on either side, I still think you've got a historic mistrust. And right away, I thought the first move was let's guilt their side into having to do this our way. And like, if that's your walking off point, I just think you're headed into the side of a mountain. So no, I think I would bet that they won't play. I would bet that baseball is just going to go, yeah, no, we're not on these terms. And, that's it. We're done.
It's a very,
I would predict they won't play.
Very dangerous tactic by the owners. Like if they want to break the union and get a new CBA by 2 years from now, it just seems there's a lot to lose. And maybe it's all also part of the negotiation, but you do hear a lot of voices saying that baseball would be in dire straits if other sports all get back and not all, but many of the big ones and they don't. I'll vote that they play, but it's getting late. Joe, break the tie.
I'll say they don't play. I think I'm believing in a lot of the noise.
Yeah. I lose again. It is a Friday. We're not drafting today, but this is sort of familiar for me losing a vote. Although last week you
won the vote last week, didn't you?
Rock vocalist.
Yeah. I just wonder if they get to the point where it's like we can only do 40 or 50 games, if everybody just goes, well, what's the point then?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I would love to see that. I think they should do that, but I don't think they're going to think that. I don't think any either side maybe will think that.
I don't care about 50 games. I don't know. On the surface, to me, it just seems sort of like an eye roll. 80, half the season, if you could do it. I'm excited about Premier League and that schedule where they're playing like six games a day or something like that. I mean, I could. That's going to take the place of these old baseball games in here when that starts.
Yeah. Yeah, if that's normally on in the morning, at least to start, and through the afternoon. The morning will. I think I'll turn the TV on in the morning for that.
Yeah, you'll be there.
Get there. Yeah.
When would it be? It'd be like 7 in the morning our time, through, 4, maybe
4 or 5.
4 or 5.
Yeah, right.
Like those Monday games are on at 3 when we're sitting in here.
Right.
All right, we will look again at the local scene here. The city last night and talk some more about that, do some more sports. We're just going back and forth like we can tend to do. Right now, a minute on Outlet Liquor, your place to buy a case. Stock up and save every day. No club cards or coupons needed to earn the lowest price liquors in New York State. Outlet Liquor on George Urban Boulevard in Depew. Outlet wants you to know they've taken every precaution to ensure your safety. Curbside service, if you'd rather not go inside, call ahead with your order. It'll be ready for you when you arrive. For details, go to their website, outletliquor.com. Case deals now. Smirnoff Vodka, $17.99 a bottle when you buy a case. That's six. mixed varieties as well, your favorites, or most varieties, mix and match your favorites, Smirnoff Vodka. Apothic Wines, most varieties, just $7.99 when you buy a case, 12 bottles in that case, mix and match as well. In the penny section, you can save on small batch bourbon, Irish whiskey, and more. Buy one bottle, get one for a penny. Triple the savings in the Gimme 3 section. Barefoot Wine, $4.99 a bottle when you buy three or more. Tito's Vodka, $29.99 a bottle, also when you buy three or more. Outlet Liquor, just minutes from the Walden Galleria. Outlet Liquor, what's your outlet?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.